And now we will open up the formal action session for the Commonwealth Transportation Board here in January. Excuse me. And we'll start with public comment. Is there any public comment? Anyone that would like to speak for the board? Yes. Good morning, Smith.
Good morning, Nancy Smith with the Northern Virginia Transportation Alliance. Just want to speak quickly today to House Bill 2 and the presentation you received yesterday. Obviously, from yesterday's presentation, this is a very complex process. Even the presentation was complex. Staff has had months to grapple with this, and you and the public have had less than 24 hours, so sorting this out kind of takes some time. Pleased to see that you have many months ahead of you to grapple with this. The categories and processes would note that are far more numerous and complex than originally intended by Speaker Howe and Delegate Stolle when they first introduced the original bill, which called for a focus strictly on economic development and congestion reduction. While the added complexity and data sources selected, whether they may smarten or dumb down the project selection process, I think remains to be seen. And again, need to be subject to careful scrutiny and discussion as you go forward. The need for and benefits of some of the top scoring projects, such as 66 outside the Beltway and I-64 and Hampton Roads, as well as the collector distributed bridge in the Fredericksburg region, seem obvious, but the value and worth of others may not be so clear. And again, I think require careful examination and discussion of the factors and weighting upon which the ratings are based. The challenge of collecting and evaluating and weighing and otherwise arriving at all these rates was indeed great, and the Alliance sympathizes with the challenges that have been faced by staff over the last year and a half, while observing that to a great extent the complexity of this process is of the staff's making. The lack of CTV and statewide input into the project testing process continues to be a concern of the Alliance, in as much as such a restriction is not part of the authorizing legislation. And it's important to note that scoring and rankings are based only on projects that were submitted and do not necessarily represent the most important or beneficial investments for the Commonwealth. Again, I think a more statewide input would help correct this deficiency. Additionally, I think the disbursement of approximately 25% of the statewide high priority project funds across to the construction district grants clearly points to a lack of overall funds available despite the efforts of House Bill 2313 to meet the needed demands on our infrastructure. And so in short, while certainly not taking a negative view of House Bill 2 process and its preliminary results, the Alliance believes that much work remains to be done in terms of explaining, justifying, and perhaps modifying the outcome. So let the discussions and examination begin, and good luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other people would like to address the board this morning? Okay, hearing none, we will move into our formal action item. We have first the approval of the minutes from December 9, 2015. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Is there a second?
Second. Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. First up, our maintenance division, Mr. Gregg. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Chairman, members of the board, I have four items for you this morning. The first one is a commemorative naming in Dickerson County in the Bristol District. Board of Supervisors had a resolution to recognize the veterans, and they want to do so on State Route 83, Dickerson Highway, over the Cranes Nest River in Dickerson County. The bridge would be named the Veterans Memorial Bridge.
Mr. Chairman, since I'm closest to Bristol, I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Fralin. Is there a second?
Second.
All those, any other discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Craig.
Mr. Chairman, the remaining three items are all in the Nova District, and these are just simply cleaning up old construction projects where we'll be discontinuing a portion of these routes. Would you like to take them individually, or do you just want to do them as a group?
We adopt the actions in a block.
In a block. Yes. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Is there a motion then for the approval of the three blocks? Mr. Dyke.
Yeah, I'd like to move the adoption of the three.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Kasperitz. Any discussion or comment? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Greg, thank you very much. Ms. Pryor.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary, members of the board. I have two items for you today. The first item is an amendment of three projects to the six-year program. One project in Bristol District, which is a reconstruction project. Another project is a roundabout in the town of Vienna, funded with a grant. And the third project is a safety project in Stanton District. I recommend your approval.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion, questions? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Additions are approved.
The second item is just our normal monthly transfers of surplus funds from completed projects to scheduled or underway projects. I recommend your approval.
I move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Okay, got it. Any discussion or comment? Any questions? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much, Ms. Bryan. Mr. Thrasher, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Item number 7 is a limited access modification in our Hampton Roads construction district, specifically on I-64 capacity segment 1. The project is located in Newport News. It's been approved by the City of Newport News via letter 23 November 2015, as well as the Hampton Roads Transportation Planning Organization by letter 16 January 2014. FHWA has also provided its approval via letter on 3 December 2015. VDOT recommends that your approval for the limited access modifications.
I make a motion to approve.
All right, let me get a second then. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, discussion, Mr. Kilpatrick.
Yeah, real quick, this is a good story about how we've been able to actually reduce the footprint of this project using what we call nutrient credits, which is the ability to buy into a nutrient credit bank in lieu of building stormwater detention facilities. So this is a good story. It's a much more efficient way of dealing with what nutrients basically are pollutants in the Chesapeake Bay. And this is a much more, for both us and for the environment as a whole, it's a better way of doing this than building a lot of small, difficult-to-maintain facilities. This is a good story here. What you see is we're changing the limited access control, but what's really happening in kind of behind the scenes is we've reduced our footprint on this project and provided bought into nutrient credits to protect Chesapeake Bay.
Just from my first meeting here, limited access control change, is that to be interpreted just as you're either widening, adding, changing something with regard to interstate?
This is fairly routine in terms of projects that have limited access, which are all of your interstates, and then a number of bypasses and some primary highways. So in terms on a project level, if we move the limited access 1 foot for like a intersection realignment or something like that, or interchange, it has to go back because the board, you are the body that controls the access on those highways. So any change, any addition needs to come back through this board. You will occasionally see an access break, and that is that's either a new interchange or a new connection point. These are typically adjustments, and Mr. Thrasher will bring them, I won't say every month, but a number of times a year you'll see them.
Any other discussion or questions? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you, sir.
Ms. Brown.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Item number 8 is a resolution for approval of the revenue sharing deallocation. You have a list of the projects recommended for deallocation. All of the localities that are impacted are notified. None of them were objecting. In fact, several of these were voluntary deallocations. So I would ask that you approve the resolution before you.
Is there a motion?
I move the motion.
Second. Okay. Any discussion or comments from Ms. Brown? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Ms. Brown. Mr. Moore.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Item number 9 is action to designate the newly constructed and open seminary ramp on I-395 as a HOV plus only at all times. That was the way it was scoped, and the promises made to the localities there in public hearing. And this is just formal action of the board to make it formal.
I'd like to move the adoption of the motion.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have one question. This is contemplated in as we are looking at the expansion of 395 also with the concessionaire?
It would stay that way and go through even with 395. These were commitments that were made in the public hearings, and I think if we heard something different back from the localities, we might come back to the board depending on how the operation works and how they view it as working within the city of Alexandria and northern Fairfax County.
But we'd have to come back to the board.
We'd come back to the board to modify it. But right. This is consistent with everything we've gone out with public hearing. Yes, sir.
Right. Okay. Just want to make sure. Any other comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Mr.
Thank
Moore,
you,
thank you. Mr. Solis.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. We're going to go over bids. Since the board last met, the department has received bids on 41 projects valued at $241 million. Of those, seven valued at $194 million need to come before the board for approval. I'd like to go in order of the ballot. Please,
that'd be great. Yes, sir.
First item on the ballot is what we call order number 406. This is for a latex modified slurry seal contract in the Richmond District. We only had one bidder, but that's not unusual for this type of work. We have at most two bidders, depending on locale. We have analyzed the bid. We think it represents good value, and we're recommending it for award.
Mr. Brown.
It's
in your district. What typically happens is, if it's in your particular district, we ask you to make the motion, unless you have some reason.
Okay.
Sorry.
Familiar with this process, but I move adoption of the action.
Okay, is there a second? Okay, Mr.
Mr.
Malvin abstains. Any more comments or discussion? Mr. Casper?
Mr. Secretary, I continue to be uncomfortable. I realize it's a specialized business, but it's a $10 million contract with a lot better. I mean, and this is work that I'm sure we'll continue to do for years and years to come. How do we increase the number of bidders for a $10 million contract?
In terms of, Mr. Siley's mentioned this, slurry sealing, that technique, that process is pretty limited nationally. And in Virginia, we have fundamentally two companies that do that work. Occasionally, we'll get a third out of another state on a larger contract that may come in and bid this work. I don't know that I have a simple answer other than what we can do is say, okay, is the price that we're getting reasonable? You're not getting a competitive price. So then it goes, is this a reasonable price? If we were to find that the cost of this type of application was way out of line, what we may do is just say, well, we're just not the alternative to doing slurry sealing. Which again is a maintenance coating that goes over, helps skid resistance, extends the life. Plan B on that would be to do a mill and overlay project with asphalt. I mean, that would be your other option, or to even more extensive, you would go to either asphalt or concrete rehabilitation. But those are kind of your choices.
Let me ask you a question on that. Would that be more or less expensive than
it'd
what we're doing?
It'd be significantly more expensive.
That's the key point, I think.
It'd be significantly, because your plan B would be basically mill and overlay, and that it would be significantly higher in terms of cost than this. So
do you expect we'll continue to see bids in this range come in with single bidders? I guess is my question.
I would say probably so.
Of this type of work.
Of this type of work.
It's a specific type of work.
Do I have to resign from the board if I go into this business?
I just
think, what's the total volume of slurry sealing that we do in the Commonwealth per year?
Yeah, I don't know that I have that number. We can get that number from you. There's basically two styles, basically latex, which is the deluxe version, and then regular slurry, which we'll use in neighborhoods and in lower volume roads. We can get you that number to tell you approximately we spend a year.
I would like to see that.
Yes. Mr. Kasperwitz, I think there may be one more slurry sealer. We've got one
there
in our area. I got to see the process. It extends the life of the road, I think, 7 years.
Yeah, typically.
For significantly less. But if we had that down in Southwest Virginia, we would be lucky to get one bidder.
Mr. Malbec, I'm assuming you've done the analysis because the life of this slurry is not the life of a mill and overlay.
It is not. It's part of our, so we have, you know, our overall pavement management program. You look from the simple patching to extend the life or crack sealing is sort of that's kind of the smallest impact. And then the next would be, again, this is sort of like a driveway sealer, but for roadways. And what it does is it seals off the minor cracking and seals the surface. The next level you go to is some kind of overlay or mill and overlay. And then you get beyond that, you're talking about either deep reclamation or full reconstruction. So that's kind of the evolution. And what you try to do is extend the life of what you've got as best you can and just replace the wear surface. But over a period of time, or if it deteriorates, or it deteriorates from the bottom up, you got to go with the big stuff.
So here's what I'd like you to do, Mr. Kilpatrick. We the next three jobs we have, that we have that we think slurry, I would like you to get a competitive bid under what the extended life is.
Sure.
Competitive, and then explain to the board what Mr. Maul was getting to. The life cycle cost of what that is. I think because assuming that the life cycle cost is commensurate, it's much better to do the slurry.
Yes.
But to the extent you're extending it out further than you'd have to do the slurry three times, obviously, would have been better off doing that. So I think that would be one way to sort of pull this down. And I don't want to put extra burden on the department, but at least we'll give the board some understanding that we are getting good value for this process because of the lack of confidence.
And our pavement management staff can put that together.
Let me add this, though, for the comfort of the board. There's two things. One, the motivation for slurry pavers to keep this affordable is high because if he drives his price up into the where we can mill and lay, we're going to mill and overlay. I mean, it's always a better choice. And the other thing is if they were killing it, all these paving companies could easily be in this business, easily be in it. It's not a business they want to be in because it's quite frankly not a. They're not killing it. Trust me.
So that's right. So Mr. Williams is explaining from from the provider side.
Could do it tomorrow.
We'll look at it from the user side, but I think you're right. I mean, quite frankly, in our society, if this was a bunch of money, you'd have a bunch of people.
There'd be plenty of people already equipped to do it. They wouldn't have to. They wouldn't have to ramp up. They could just. Start doing it right away. It's a good approach. Thank you.
Mr. Brown. I did have a question. We've seen this similar situation with the RMTA, and I think we've done some slurry, we've done some mill and overlay, I think more recently mill and overlay, and frequently few bidders. And one of the things that we really pressed, at least during my chairmanship, was how do you go out there and try to find more bidders? And I think one of the questions or the responses that we got was that mobilization. If there's out-of-state folks that are doing this, getting them to mobilize and come here adds significantly to the cost to the point where they can't be competitive if it's someone that's built infrastructure in the district. Now, I don't know this to be exactly the case here, but is that some of what is impacting why we're not getting other bidders?
It is. The challenge, again, this is a schedule, Mr. Sally's correct, so it's not a single route. If you were to do, I don't know, 30 miles of interstate continuous, where there was a single mobilization, that tended to make things, then a company from somewhere else can say, yeah, I can marshal my resources and set up. But if I've got to bounce all over the place and hitting these locations, and what we try to do is, as best we can within a district or a region, get similar routes on the same schedule so you're not traveling too much. But just the nature of this work, it's not like one continuous pull. And so, mobilization is a difficulty for any contractor.
But see, these are all things he can't control. What he can control is if he's using the right process based on the estimated life. I mean, he can't make people get in the business. He can't make them come from out of state. But our job would be to say, are you using the right process compared to whether we go out of that? And I think I mean, a lot of this stuff is good to talk about, but he can't control it.
Right, well, right here we have an estimated construction cost.
Yeah. I want to address it.
No.
I'm concerned about why maybe there aren't multiple bidders in this space, because I think we've encountered the same thing. It is troubling, but I understand that there may be.
This is also not a business that I see the state going out and purchasing the equipment to do. It's pretty expensive equipment, and the technique, it takes a decent amount of training to get it down so it looks and acts right. It's just not a business that I could see. You know, you could say, well, state, why don't the state do it themselves, and then you could control it. We would have great difficulty in doing it, and we would ultimately have to create our own contracting crew that would travel the state. It's not efficient.
You've already beat your construction estimate right here.
Yeah.
On this project.
This is very similar to surface treatment. In the surface treatment, we used to be in that business, and we found out that we could contract it much more cheaply than doing it ourselves.
Okay, good discussion. I think we'll get him to come up and give us, and then we'll have some idea. At least we're being efficient with the state's monies, which I no doubt we are already. But let's put it out here for the board to see.
So you vote?
Yeah, we do. We have any other discussion? And we have Mr. Brown made it first, I think, and someone seconded over here. Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Next project is order number F91. This is for a new interchange on Route 58 near Cortland. We had eight bidders, which is a tremendous amount of competition for a project like this. We got an exceptional value, and we're recommending the award.
Cortland, that'd be
Hampton Roads.
Hampton Roads.
I have to abstain.
Mr. Ball. Okay, Mr. Williams. Move. Mr.
I'm a surrogate for Hampton Roads.
abstain. There a second. Any discussion here? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
I can't say that. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Next is order I-57. This is for a bridge replacement on Route 58 in Carsville. And even though this is showing here, we had seven bidders, even though this is showing being a little bit above the planning estimate, it is not above our estimate. It's not above the Mr. Kilpatrick talked about at the last meeting how we do an evaluative estimate that basically mimics the bidding process. In essence, we do VDOT's bid, and it is within the range.
Are you abstaining on this one?
I have to abstain.
Okay. Mr. Williams.
I'd move the adopt.
Second.
Any comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Next project is I-81. This is patch and overlay of the southern section of 288. Basically runs from I-95 to Courthouse Road. We have three bidders on this, which is pretty good competition for this type of work. We think it represents good value, and we're recommending award.
Mr. Brown.
So moved.
Second.
Abstention. Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you.
Next is order 405. This is another slurry seal contract. This is the not deluxe version of slurry seal that we use in subdivisions. We actually had two bidders here, so Boxley Asphalt participated as well as slurry in this case, and we think it represents good value and recommending award.
Mr. Brown.
So moved.
Second. I have to abstain.
All those in any discussion?
Just a question.
Yes.
So are all these bids low bid, or are they qualified bids? Lowest qualified bid. So we qualify them, and then we just...
Yeah, what we have is a pre-qualification process for this type of contract. So we don't qualify contractors on individual contract. We pre-qualify you for certain types of work and certain magnitudes, and then you can bid on any project in Virginia versus some other types of contracting. You actually have to pre-qualify for each contract, but typically that's not done by us, except you could say there's a version of that in design build where we shortlist, But again, in general terms, if you're qualified to do this work, you can bid on any project that falls within that bracket.
And you may not know this, but just in this sense, this was a point of discussion, is how many folks do we have pre-qualified for slurry?
1,100. Oh, for slurry. Four, I'm sorry. 1,100 total, right. Sorry.
But to your point, Mr. Siles, there's four contractors that have pre-qualified in Virginia to do slurry work.
They're not all in Virginia, but there are four firms.
But they're qualified to work in Virginia.
That's correct.
Okay. Any other comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Next project is I-32. This is for bridge replacement on 340 in the city of Waynesboro. This project actually uses a special type of corrosion-resistant steel, and that was not factored in when the project was originally scoped. That's why that you see a little bit difference here between the planning estimate and what we took bids in on. Again, the value estimate that we did based on this steel, that there was it did come within the engineer's estimate.
And this is a test site for our research. Our research council has been working on this. This is a test site for, I don't know whether we call it corrosion resistant or non-corrosive in this one.
It's corrosion resistant steel. It's called A1010 steel.
We do this throughout Virginia, and sometimes we'll invest some research dollars for a product that we believe will extend the life of our asset. We're really working towards steel that goes into our bridges that can last in perpetuity.
All right. Is there a motion?
So moved.
I'll second that.
Okay. Well, one guy don't sell fuel to.
The only person in the world he doesn't sell fuel to.
Is there any more comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
And the last project is a design-build project. This is to widen from 4 to 6 lanes a segment of I-64. It's a 7-mile-long segment. Basically runs from just north of 199 to the Newport News Reservoir. We had, as usual with our design builds, we had 3 competitors that we shortlisted. We think it represents excellent value. We're recommending award.
And if I could, this is 100% funded by HR TAC funds. We have an agreement in place. You'd authorize me to execute agreement. This is called Segment 2 of I-64. Again, it's 100% funded by HR TAC funds, but because I am the contracting entity, it comes to you to approve the contract.
I've joined Mr. Malvin in standing on this particular
I think
one.
This, well, let's get a, Mr. Malvin, do you have to expand on this?
Yes,
sir. Okay, so, Mr. Williams?
I have to abstain.
Is there a second?
Second. No, I didn't move. I have to abstain.
You have to abstain, too. Okay, is there
I'll
a second?
I'll move.
Ms. Valentine moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Just a comment here, too. So, Mr. Kilpatrick, you mentioned the contract. I think we have a sharing arrangement, too, to the extent as we participate and there's overs and unders.
Okay.
And in this particular case, HR TAC gets all this money because they
That's
were the
correct.
Funding. So significant savings. So far, the projections, I believe, that we gave them for planning, they have been able, in your competition, to beat those.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So I think this is real good value. I'm hoping that the board will to take this as a sign to keep moving. We'll see what you guys actually do in June when you vote. But with the monies that preliminary allocated, they could go a long ways to getting this project squared away down there.
Just the second phase. The first phase was $100 million when they were close.
It was right at $100 million, right. Just a hair under.
And that
was all HR TAC money.
$44 million was HR TAC. The first $100 million was the Commonwealth of Virginia VDOT. Was the first $100 million, and that project again great value. Segment 3, which would take us, this takes you to basically Busch Gardens, and so the piece from Busch Gardens to Lightfoot, where you get off to go to the Pottery Factory, all that stuff. So that. Is segment 3, and we expect to follow, assuming that HR TAC agrees to continue to fund that project. That'll be, I would expect, either probably next year in 17. I may have that. It may be faster than that, especially depending on how the ultimate award of House Bill 2 funds, or the House Bill 2 process, rather. But again, this is great value, and we are actually under construction with Segment 1. This will be some months before they actually go to construction, being a design build. But it's pretty exciting to finally get 64 on the peninsula from Lightfoot all the way to the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel, essentially improved.
Mr. Casper, do we do a construction estimate on this?
Does VDOT have a cost of construction estimate?
We do.
Yes, sir.
And how do they compare with?
Excellent value.
Yeah. Under our own internal estimate.
Yeah. Can we present that for future?
The internal estimate?
Cannot.
Oh, we can't.
The problem with that is that takes away. We'll be happy to share you offline.
Understood.
But making it public, that takes away their competitive bidding edge.
Okay.
In other words, if you post it, so.
Oh, so the other ones are posted in advance?
Yeah.
They can look in the 6-year plan and see what the number is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so when you go in the 6-year plan, you'll see $206 million in the 6-year plan. But then what happens is construction division staff are doing a kind of a ground truthing estimate to say, okay, what is this really going to cost? And we, because that's how we look to see if a bid's unbalanced, if we've got discrepancies, if we've got something, an anomaly that comes out of that. Mr. Siles, his folks, the construction division, they're able to use that to ground truth the project.
Mr. Malman, because this is a design build, did the contractor introduce any ATCs that afforded this price to be?
I don't think this had any alternative bidding items. Today, we do not have alternative technical concepts as a design part of the design build process. There is a bill that was, sponsored by VTCA, that the engineering and construction industry, that we also believe is a good thing, that will allow us to formally allow alternative technical concepts in the design build process. So we do see real value. On P3s, it's allowed today, but again, the code language is not clear that we could allow it. So there's code language in place. If the bill passes and is signed, we'll be able to employ that on all design-build projects.
Quite frankly, to the answer to your question is no, because you can't do it without being in a P3, except for there's a disagreement what the Attorney General says and others says, and we're going to try to get it codified.
Now what will happen is contract will be awarded, assuming you all vote to award the contract. Contract gets awarded. The contract can still submit changes in terms of value engineering, and we would evaluate those and say, yes, that's okay, that's a cost savings, it's a better way of delivering this project. So there are some abilities to do that, but it's somewhat, it's the incentive is not there post-bid that you have pre-bid. And so that's why we think this legislation is important, and look forward and hopefully it will pass and be signed.
Mr. Chairman, so what portion of our projects are design build versus hard bid?
More and more.
Yeah, I don't have the total value. Let's give you a sort of a sense. We advertised about I told you that at the December meeting we were approaching $2 billion. At the end of the day for 2015. We advertised approximately $2.2 billion in contract value. I just don't remember what that percent. We can provide that next month. I wanted to say it was somewhere around the $500 million.
Well, we're increasing the amount of product that we're doing that
in
way.
Design build? Yes, we are. And I think we're also, getting more mature in how we deliver design builds. In the past, sometimes design builds were delivered for we used it for obligating federal dollars and things like that, and not necessarily that it was a better contracting method. So I think in Virginia, we are a leader in design builds nationwide, and we're becoming more and more mature about what's the right contracting vehicle. So again, I see that as continuing to be a healthy piece of our business, but traditional design bid build, where 100% plans are developed, we still do that day in and day out.
Any more questions or comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Mr. Seiss, thank you very much. Is there any other new business to come before the board?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Fraley.
I would like to, the board knows, I just want to go on record. My wife had emergency appendix surgery, I think you call that appendectomy.
Yes.
And so I had to leave before our business meeting last time. And I just want the record to reflect that I was not in support of the I-66 inside the Beltway solution. And I just want to state my reasons for that. And, you know, it passed, so.
We will put that in the record.
Well, the reason is I don't think we ought to be tolling highways where we're not expanding the highway itself. And I also am concerned about negotiating with localities for what we want to do in terms of statewide deals. And I understand that that's sometimes a political reality. I think we need to be careful about that. I'm also concerned about giving our decision-making power to the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission. So those things worry me about it. I don't believe that we can widen 66 or do anything with 66 without obtaining the revenue to do it. And I feel like, you know, the tolling piece is not necessarily something that I would oppose. But the manner in which we're expending the money, I don't like. So I just want to go on the record and say,
we'll so note that on the record in that regard.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Any other new business to come before the board? Next, we meet again here. We are tentatively in February trying to schedule some get together with the transportation committees in both Senate and House.
Good idea.
All of it's going to work out. By that time, Mr. Dyke, to your point about where some of this legislation is, we may have some specific points to talk with them about.
Well, it's crossover day. Yeah. So it's your meeting day is the same day.
I know.
So
and in fact, it could be. Could be. So it may not work out. That's why that's exactly right. It may not. But I just throw that out. I do believe, and I wish I had thought about it earlier, while we're here in the assembly, we ought to try to have some correspondence with them. I thought the reception, we're working on that, but maybe not. I've invited them all to come to the meeting. We didn't get any this time.
While you're on the subject, I won't be there because I'm having surgery on that day.
Oh, okay.
I won't be there that day or the next day.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck to you on your surgery.
Oh, it'll be all right.
In that regard, so.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I don't know if it fits with the schedule, but the day after crossover day would be a great day to do it. Because
it's okay that, with Leon, but you guys would have to hang around, and I didn't want to.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want to cause you to.
Oh, good. Thank you.
To do that, because look, I fully realize you're taking two full days every month. That is a big commitment. I appreciate your efforts and your work, but I understand that. So
that night of the 16th, every bill has to come out.
I know.
So the chances that they'll be able to come over and do anything are going to be
slim.
Mr. Dyke,
especially the crazy.
Back a day?
Crazy. I'm sorry, Mr. Dyke.
Should we just consider moving the meeting back a day so we get them the day after?
Or ahead of day.
Ahead of day. I've gotten significant problems when we have moved meetings from many of you because of that. So I suspect, Mr. Reich, that we'll, you know, what I may do is if those maybe make it, if Wednesday night's better, just so who will do something, and I'll take a head count of those who could do it, and we'll do something then if it looks like. So why don't we just poll to see if they're on Wednesday night, check if there's anybody. Carol, that would be willing to stay.
You're not talking about changing the meeting?
No, not changing the meeting. I'm just saying if those who would like to stay Wednesday night, not changing the meeting, but if those who would like to stay Wednesday night, if we are able to work something out, but it's not mandatory. And that's it. in that. Next year, we'll probably try to plan a little better, but a 60-day session, we wouldn't normally run into crossover. I mean, a 45-day session. It would happen earlier. So, anyway. Okay, any other new business? I want to thank everybody. We've got a lot of work ahead. I'm excited. I think the news reports about House Bill 2 were generally positive.
I did too.
When we started 18 months ago, if you would have woke up and I would have said, we've got these headlines, I'd have said, I'll take that.
Yeah,
absolutely. I do think a couple of them, I think the general issue is that the scoring is valid. We still talk about how we want to allocate, but I think that's what my message has been to when I've talked and be in front, that we're comfortable if they valid. Don't mean we've got a 100, but it's a valid method. Now the question is, what are the right, what do you call them, rules or how we choose to allocate? We've offered you a recommended way, and I'm sure we'll have lots of discussion around that. But it's been a long 18 months, and these six-year plan hearings, I would encourage you will to attend, because I think we'll really get a feedback now. We actually see scores, and people can, we'll have some real things to judge it against. So very, very looking forward to this.
Charlie, have you had any feedback from the districts of how they're feeling about any of these scoring yet? Or they're?
We're actually, I've got a conference call at 1 o'clock today. We did not provide them the scoring until we provided it to you, so I think they're still working through, looking at it. So I'll get some feedback today.
It'd be interesting to hear, wouldn't it?
May I comment? We are clarifying today, Mr. Chairman, some of the confusion in the Fredericksburg area that occurred yesterday as a result of someone who was not knowledgeable about the process and the scoring, who I think prematurely put out information to about 70 people, and that caused a lot of confusion. I would urge you to really talk to the district administrators so that they drive the conversation at the regional level, and they're fully informed so that they can put out the right information so that that doesn't happen again. So, kudos to you talking to them. But I'm asking my district people to really get to the bottom of this, really get fully engaged, fully informed, so that we drive the conversation, not somebody else.
Yes.
Okay. They can read it just like anybody else.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Meeting's adjourned. And hope you all have safe travels as we head back to where you're headed to.